Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this afternoon for your love to us. We're thankful, Lord, for all that you have done for us and all that you mean to us. We thank you, Lord, that when we, not only when we were, but we are so unworthy of what you have done and of your love, but we thank you for your mercy and thank you for valuing us. Today, Lord, we pray that you be very close to all of us. I pray that you would encourage those that may be downcast. I pray that you would just give renewal of purpose and vision. And we thank you for your great love. We pray that you would bless in this service now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to, Lord willing, just pick right up where we left off this morning. I'm not going to even review. We're just going to just keep going. We can so often, if we are not careful, allow people's opinions and expectations to cause us to feel. And feelings, we have to be careful about feelings because we all have them. But feelings are not always based in reality either. I woke up the other morning, and I am not a dreamer. Just some people dream a lot, and I know some people, they dream a lot and get a lot of things out of them. I'm not a dreamer. But I woke up with a dream, and I had been kind of having a struggle anyway. And maybe that's why I dreamed it. I don't know. But I woke up, and there was someone that had done something to me in that dream. And I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but when you wake up, you can actually struggle with feelings when they didn't even do anything. You know it wasn't based in reality. And then later on in that day, the Lord gave me a real burden for that person to the point that I sent him a text. And I told him, I said, because I was almost in tears praying for them because the Lord just put on me, they're going through a burden. And here, the way to get to that burden was kind of through me feeling bad. But the Lord, and so I let him know that I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord put you special on my heart today. And I was just having special prayer for him throughout the day. But feelings are not always based in reality. Sometimes they are. We feel because of circumstances around us. But I have also noticed that sometimes feelings have a way of exacerbating themselves. They have a way of growing and compounding. And if you get if you're struggling with a feeling about something, if we're not careful, we will begin to view everything and everybody in every circumstance through that feeling I had. And really, it's not always based in reality. And so we have to be careful if we start feeling that, as going back to this morning now, that I am of no value, or I'm not really worth a lot, or I can't do a lot, or it's easy for that thing to start to carry over. If there is one area of your life, for example, you children, if you go to school and you take a test, and say maybe you don't do as well on it as you wish you would have. So you think, well, I just can't do it. And that was just a math test, but pretty soon it's time for social studies or history or something else or spelling. And there's already this mentality, if we're not careful, this applies in every area of our life, that, well, I just can't do it. I'm just not going to do well. And then you go home and your parents give you a job to do and you just feel like I'm just not cutting. I'm just not of value. I just can't do anything. And pretty soon we're left saying, I can't do anything. It's like, that's not true. There's so much that you can do. But it's because we get in our mind one thing that didn't go right, and it starts to color every area of our life. You get up to testify, for example, and maybe your words don't come out just right. And you sit down and think, did everybody understand what I meant? I'm afraid it didn't come out right, and I said something that I totally didn't mean, and so next time I won't testify because I'm feeling bad and feel like, well, someone else can get up and it just seems like it's so easy for them and it just comes out just so and here I can't do it. That's the devil that does that to us. That's the enemy that's trying to cause us not to do what we can do. But we are not called this afternoon. We're not called to be like everybody else. We are unique, valuable, important individuals in the Lord. And I have shared before, I'll share again, I remember when I was a little boy, and I thought, if I ever preach, I want to preach like, and I could tell you who they were, some of you would know them. I don't want to do that today. Because if we want to try to emulate somebody except Christ, we're going to get in trouble somewhere because we're not like anybody else. You're not like anybody else. As a mother or a father, you say, oh, if I could be a mother like them, or a father like them, or if I could on the job or at school, if I could just be more like this one or more like this, our lives will become a life of bondage. Because we're always going to be trying to be like someone else rather than saying, Lord, would you help me in my weaknesses and shape me and mold me into the person that you want me to be. And if I fail over here and I fall short, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden I'm a bad husband and I'm a bad father and I can't do anything right. But does it ever feel that way? Feelings, see. So we can begin to differentiate and recognize the devil works with feelings. We all have them, but you are of value. And when the enemy says, you're of no value, you don't have anything to contribute, who do you think you are? That's the devil. Because everybody has something unique to contribute to family, to the work of the Lord, on your jobs, at school. That's what God has called us, and He values that. The disciples, you remember, I believe it's in the book of John, when Jesus gave John, or Peter rather, a job to do, and he said, feed my sheep. And he asked him that 3 times, and then Peter was kind of looking around, and he saw John, and he said, well, what shall that man do? And Jesus said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. In other words, we don't want our lives to be in bondage to looking around and seeing, what is this one doing? How are they doing it? But saying, Lord, help me to follow you. Help me to be obedient, Lord. Help me in the places that I stumble. It doesn't mean that, God, I missed the call. It doesn't mean that, well, I should have never been a father. I don't know if any of you parents have ever felt that way before. But I have to acknowledge there are sometimes it's like, Lord, it just seems like if I would have known this or if I could have done that differently. But do you know, the Lord has called us to do the best we can. And then our prayer is that He would fill in the gaps for us. But we can't look around. Sometimes if you look around and you find the perfect parent, for example, you get underneath the surface and you know what you're going to find? There's struggles and there's problems and there's still disagreements and there's still things children do sometimes that mom and dad are saying, why, Lord, help me? Do you realize that that happens in life? And so what we need to do then is, Lord, help me to be all that I can be in you. And God is going to value that kind of perspective and that kind of approach. If you ever begin to get from situations that you are of no value, it is time to lift up your eyes above circumstances and realize that you are of value. And pretty soon, more often than not, if you feel it over here and you feel it over here and you feel it over there and you feel it over here, more often than not, it's really just something right here. Because I've noticed, and again, I'm just speaking, I think this is where we live, just by personal experience and also in working with other people, that sometimes if you have one problem, say with a person, you have a problem right here, it's easy to interpret one person's problem and start, then you come home to your husband and wife and children and all of a sudden there's a problem there. And all you think there is just in your mind and pretty soon it's over here. And, well, this one's thinking that. And you can go somewhere and someone can just look at you and you can see, I know what they're thinking. And you know where it started? Because of one problem over here that we started just feel like, I'm not of any worth. And everybody's against me. You know, you children, I don't know if it's still on children's tapes. I remember as a little boy, we had a record. You children probably don't even know what those are. No. We had one of those records and on it, there was that saying, nobody likes me, everybody hates me, I'm going to go to the garden and eat worms, juicy worms and fat worms. I won't ask for a show of hands, but has anybody ever felt that way? Do you know those are feelings? Those are feelings. People love you. People care about you. People, and so then as God values us, then the next step would be, Lord, help me not to be proud or self-righteous, but Lord, help me to value the person that you made me. Because if I don't think I'm worth anything, what I'm telling God is, Lord, you didn't do a very good job when you came to me. It seems like that you did all right with everybody else, but Lord, I don't know what happened when you came to my door, but no, you're valuable in the eyes of God, and He doesn't want us to be proud, but He wants us to recognize when we place ourselves in the hands of God, then we can go forward with confidence, not pride. We can go forward with confidence knowing that, Lord, I'm going to be a father for you. I'm going to be a mother for you. I'm going to be a child for you. I'm going to go to school for you. I'm going to go to church for you. I'm going to go to work for you. And I'm not just going to always be beating myself up over the head. You understand? That the devil can take things of the past, the failures and the mistakes and the problems, and he'll just beat us over the head as long as we allow him to do it. And I found sometimes we have to take a stand against the devil and say, no, devil, it's not true, it's not right, I'm valuable. And you say, oh, Brother Michael, that sounds kind of... But do you know, sometimes we need to just let the devil know where things are at. The Lord loves us today. And we are valuable in His sight. And so then we need to treat ourselves with respect. That's right. We need to treat ourselves with respect. And if we say, well, I'm not worthy of respect because of what I did, then do you know that's when we say, Lord, I marred in your hands, but Lord, I'm not giving up, and the Lord will make another vessel. That's with people that backslide. The Lord hadn't thrown the clay away. People act and do things sometimes that maybe no one else understands, and thinking, what is their problem? And the Lord is saying, just let me make another vessel. Give me more time. It's like the fruit tree that didn't bear forth fruit, and the one said, oh, let's just cut it down. In the husbandman, the one that was there, he said, just give me another year. Give me another year and let me work with it. Aren't you thankful the Lord has done that for us? I will say I'm so thankful the Lord has done that for me in the past and is still doing that today. I'm still working. I'm still shaping. So let us have a respect for ourselves as a creation of the Lord. And especially, I want to say you young people and children, all of you, all of us, we're all unique people. And I know the world is so focused on the outward appearance. The world is so focused, and they act like it's so valuable how you look, but do you know, beauty is something that comes from the inside. True beauty comes from the inside. And that means then that we say, well, I don't look like them, or I'm not quite like they are, or I wish I wasn't losing my hair, and I wish I was taller, and I wish my nose wasn't crooked, and I wish I didn't have pock marks on my... Those things are so relatively unimportant. Those things really don't matter. What matters is the vessel that we are in Jesus Christ. And value that vessel. And if all the time I beat myself up because of something like that, it's just going to tend to take the joy of the Lord from my life, because I'm so focused on what I'm not that we can't enjoy what God has made us. I didn't know we were going to go all there this afternoon, but may the Lord have His way. When the Lord chose His disciples, and you know the scripture, they were so different. There was Peter that was always there in the forefront, and he was always had something to say. And there was always Thomas that was always kind of, well, hold on a minute now. We need to slow down a little bit. Do you know those two working together could get something accomplished? You know, Peter's impulsiveness and taking the world by storm. And then the Thomas over there, just, we need to slow down. Both of those could be a balance and a help to each other. And if Peter looked around and said, well, I'm just not like Thomas, so I just need to sit down and be quiet. Think what we would have missed. And think what would have happened maybe if Thomas wouldn't have slowed things down sometimes when things were moving a little bit too fast. And that's why, when of no value, yes, everybody is of value. In your differences, in your uniquenesses, in your personalities, in the places that God has called us to fill in the body of Christ, we are all important children of God. And not only are we important individually, we are important collectively. As a body, together, we need one another, and we need to value that. But it's not wise, the Scripture says it's not wise to compare ourselves amongst ourselves, because pretty soon we're going to be in bondage to that, rather than just saying, as we sing in the song, was it, make of me what thou wouldst have me to be. Talking about coming in the image of Christ. I'm still Michael. That's still Renee. That's still, we are who we are, but yet as the Lord works in us. But if I'm looking all the time and saying, oh, I need to be more like Brother Cook. I want to, again, follow me as I follow Christ. The godly attributes, it always points on back to Christ. But as far as just who we are, folks, the Lord made us. And we need to value and recognize that there is strength in that. In the hands of God, you are valuable. You might be, it's not always Peter that's at the forefront. I thought we might just be the little rock that fells Goliath. Who talks about the rock? Oh, that wonderful rock. But maybe you might be the rock that fells Goliath. You might just be one of the loaves of the five loaves, or just those few little fish that feeds the multitude, that in the hands of God, He can take who and what you are and minister to other people. Maybe you can be the stick that God uses to work a miracle like He did with Moses' rod. As my mind was going, I wrote some of these things down, but thought maybe you might be the little girl that tells Naaman about a prophet that might be able to let him know how to be healed. That little girl was faithful. What if that was the only thing she did of import her whole life? Just a few little words, I know a man. But wouldn't that have been worth it to Naaman? It's not in the big things. Many times, folks, our place of service and value are in those things that are unrecognized, many times underappreciated, underpaid. It's just doing what God wants us to do. Faithfully, consistently, letting God work. You are of value. It may not be in ministering to the hundreds or thousands. I've always wondered what happened in Malawi and Mozambique. There are hundreds there, if not thousands, that have now heard the gospel. But do you know where it started? Brother Phalos found a tract from the print shop when he had gone to the city for something. He doesn't even read English. Just a little bit, his son does. That started a work that has now reached, like I said, probably thousands of people that have heard the gospel. Where did it start? One track. I still don't know how that track got there. But somebody somewhere got hold of it and placed it somewhere or sent it somewhere. That person will probably never know the result of that. What if that was your life? What if you had been the one that had left that track and you never know about it, and you just think, I'm not really worth anything and I'm not a value. And the Lord is saying, you don't know how valuable you are. There's a song, and I wish I could sing it, and I can't. I don't even know all the words. It's entitled Faces. And I have been moved multiple times in hearing that song. It was about the man that felt he had died. Or the Lord gave him a vision. He felt like his labors had just been in vain. Felt like he hadn't been worth anything, hadn't accomplished anything. And the Lord showed him a vision of the judgment. And he said, I beheld the faces, just one after another, the Lord brought before him the faces of the lives that he had influenced. We don't know, but you are of value today. You are of value. You are important. Let's just let God use how He wants and when He wants and value it. You may be the mother who lives that godly example before her children. You don't know what's going to happen with your children. But living that example and setting that before them, it can make an eternal difference. An eternal difference in their life. And again, it's not about the outcomes. And that's easy to say, hard to do. It's not about the outcomes, though. It's about keeping ourselves in the hands of God. You're of value, and then cast your bread on the waters. But leave the results to God. Sow the seed. And then we have to leave it with God. I have found when we are dealing with souls, we're dealing with issues of eternity, all we can do is the best that we can in the Lord, and then we have to leave the results with God. Because it starts being too big for us. It starts weighting us down. I've carried some burdens before, and the Lord spoke to me multiple times, and He told me, let me be God. In other words, I was carrying some of the weight on myself that was too heavy, and it started pressing and breaking me down. But I was trying to carry some of the burdens, and the Lord's answer was, Michael, I'm God. Let me be God. You be what I've called you to be. But there are some of these eternal issues we just have to let God be God. In the hands of God, you're going to be used where you cannot see. You're going to be of value where you might see liability, and you're going to be of strength where you see weakness. It's because it's in the hands of God. I saw recently, we were in McDonald's. It was one of the days we had canceled services because of snow. And we rarely go to breakfast together. But we drove over to the McDonald's in Nixon. Children wanted pancakes or something. So, okay, we're going to go to McDonald's and have pancakes. We were sitting there and I said, you see that man over there? And I looked over there and she said, I have seen that man for years. Walking around town picking up cans, wasn't it? And he just had his cup of coffee there. He didn't have anything to eat. I think Renee was wanting me to go do something about it. And I was like, well, I don't want to insult him. I don't know what his situation is. So before all was said and done, I went over to visit with the man and said, my wife said she's seen you around town. And I said, where are you from? And found out the man was married and he did. I said, well, have you had your breakfast yet? He said, yeah, I'd eaten and it may have just been a drink. I don't know. I said, okay. I said, well, I said, we appreciate what you do. I said, my wife's seen you picking things up. Picking up cans, is that a value? You know, it is. Someone needs to do it. And sometimes it doesn't matter what the job is, it's about doing the job. Whether it's big or small, I've shared with you maybe before, I remember the young man going to the altar and I wanted to work for the Lord and the advice I was, well, you know, there's trash that needs to be emptied and there, and I'm thinking, I wasn't exactly thinking about that. I didn't say that, but I was thinking, I was wanting to work for the Lord. And maybe the bathrooms need to be cleaned. And do you know what I found? I empty the trash and clean the things up sometimes. That's what we're called to do. It's just about service. It's about, Lord, I want to do whatever you want me to do. Let's not limit God. I ended up going over then and I gave the gal there at McDonald's some money and asked her to, after we left, go give the man a gift card. So if he was hungry, he could do it on his own terms. Want to be sure he had food to eat. But do you know, the Lord will look after his own. The Lord will look after you. Just place ourselves in the hand of God. Look around. And this is moving. I will try to be brief, Lord willing, here. But as God has valued all of us, as the Lord died for us and He lived for us, and the Lord wants us to learn then, as He values us, to look around. And I see Timothy over there. I see Thomas, and I see what he's doing. I look over and I see John and I see Peter, and Lord, help me to value them too. That's what the Lord wants us to do today. Because that's the next step, that it's the enemy that says, you're of no value. But it's also the enemy, if I look on my children, it breaks my heart to know parents that tell their children, you're not worth anything. That's kind of almost hard to comprehend, telling someone that your child, that you're not worth anything. But you know, there's a lot of children that hear that. And they grow up thinking that I'm not worth anything. I'm not worthy of love. So then, as parents, as fellow laborers in the gospel, Lord, help us to value one another. Because you're important. People sometimes feel like that, and someone expressed it to me just in the last week, they weren't worthy of anything. They start feeling like, nobody really cares, and you know, whatever I do or don't do, or if I'm there or not, or what it, that's the enemy. Because you are needed. You are important. And I believe this afternoon that we need each other. I believe that. I believe that we are handicapped and we are dysfunctional when we miss and lose some of our members, because the Lord has a place for each one of us to fill. In our families, in the body of Christ, if you say, well, as a dad, I'd do better just not to do anything. Or as a Sunday school teacher, you know, someone else can do better, pray or sing or preach or teach or on the job, someone else can do it better, so I just won't do anything. Do you know, we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer because the Lord has put people together to be mutually for their mutual benefit and strength. And I just want each one of you to know, and I believe I'm speaking in the Spirit this afternoon, we need you. You are important. You are critically important to your families and to the body of Christ. There is a world that needs to know that they are valuable, that they are important. And there are some people that you can communicate that to that I can't. And vice versa. But together, we can do more together than we can by ourselves. I've been working on a working, that's giving it too much credit. I have been trying to work on a project that's not getting anywhere real fast. And Zachary had been trying to work on a project that wasn't getting, and he came in the other night and together in an hour, I said, and we're not even close to done, but I said, this is what we've been missing. We needed to get together. Because together, we were able to accomplish a whole lot more than we were both struggling by ourselves. But when we got together with things that he knows and with things I know together, we were able to start at least have a focus for future of getting something done. That's called synergy. Do you realize that that's the same way in families, in the body of Christ? Together, we can accomplish more for God than any one of us can by ourselves. I don't even know if I should take the time to read the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 12, you know the passage, don't you? There are many members, but there's one body. And when one member, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, or you're of no value. You're just of no value. It says here in the 22nd verse of the 12th chapter, 1 Corinthians, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Now, who's feeble? Have you ever kind of questioned that? Who's feeble? Well, about the time you think someone's feeble, they're probably looking at you thinking you're the feeble one. And that's just the way it is. But those that are feeble are maybe those even that need more attention. You know, there are some people that need a little more hand-holding than others. That doesn't make them any less important. It doesn't make them liabilities. Those are the people Jesus ministered to. Do you recognize we as a people, we become weak when we don't have someone to minister to? What makes us strong? You want to see this congregation revitalized, get some people that haven't been around for a while, new people come into service, and it renews the burden, it renews the importance of what we can do to minister to them, and it can revitalize the truth and revitalize. We might even pray before you come to service that the anointing of God will be there. It revitalizes, and someone could look on and say, well, they're a liability. They're kind of slowing everybody else down. No, it can make us strong. So that means they're of value. Those that are just maybe perpetually weak and need a little bit more spiritual hand-holding, that doesn't mean they're feeble maybe. That doesn't mean they're less valuable. The Lord can use them to make you strong as you try to help them be strong. See? We're all important. It's all valuable. And it says then, in those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Who's less honorable? That's upon those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Talks about God tempering the body together. And I want to read on in verse 25. It said that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one of another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. In other words, valuing one another, caring for one another. When one suffers, we suffer because everybody's valuable. Are little toes important? There are some yeses that they don't seem like it until you cut it off. Mine was about 3/4 of the way cut off, and I found out how important it affects the whole body. Can't walk straight. It was just a little toe. Do you know that the members in the body of Christ are the same way? You're important. My words can't communicate it, but the Spirit of the Lord can. You are important this afternoon, and the Lord has a job for you to fill in the body of Christ. So if we don't know what that is, it's time to start seeking Him. Lord, help me to know my place, but know that I am important and I am necessary, and what I do does affect everybody else. We're not an island. What goes on in my life, it does affect other people. It affects my family. It affects my friends. It affects God's people. And sometimes the enemy would like to make us think it doesn't. Go off and do what you want and go to your corner, so to speak, and no one's going to care, and they might breathe a sigh of relief. There might be a few, but that's the devil that makes us feel that way, y'all. This is what the Lord wants us to recognize, that we're of value, and in the same token, to turn around to our brothers and sisters, our family, our wives, our husbands, our children, that they would know and we would reinforce to them, I love you. You're valuable. I had to correct one of the children last night. And I don't like doing that. But afterward, I said, I want you to know I love you. And I said, you're important to me. Because, you know, after some correction, you know, the devil just says, well, you're just not worth anything. And our children need to know that you're loved. We care about you. And whether they accept it at the time or not really isn't the point. It's that we do what we can. Lord, help us to show that. Working together for a common cause, a common burden, proper functioning, and as you're needed, so your brother and sister is needed too. And they are valuable. And I believe that there are people that I didn't understand. There have been people in the body of Christ that I have not understood. And as I got to know them, I've been thrown in some pretty close quarters with some of those people that I didn't really know. And do you know what changed my perspective? You know, before, you know, talking about things that maybe didn't seem quite as valuable, and then you got beneath the surface and all of a sudden you saw how valuable it was. And I started to understand what made them tick, so to speak. You get underneath and you start understanding. So things that they say, I now know what they mean, or I understand where they're coming from. And it's like, okay, I understand that better. And someone else may come up to me and say, did you hear that? It was like, yes, but do you know them? Have you talked to them about it? And we can learn to grow and appreciate each other more. And I can't do that for anybody else. But what I can say is, Lord, help me. Because the Lord has called all of us for purpose, for a cause. And I want that love and that unity to remain and be strong in the Lord. And as we pass along that thought that you are worthy and you're important to the Lord's work, so we want to express that to other people as well. God bless you.